Welcome to today's deep dive. So today we are taking your notes and a really fascinating piece from the Broker Times to decode a major structural shift in Australian real estate.
Yeah, it's a big one. Liberty just became the very first non-bank lender to join the government's 5% deposit scheme.
Right. And our mission here is to figure out what this actually means for you. Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine trying to get into like an exclusive nightclub, but the bouncer at the door only accepts one very specific type of VIP ID.
Right, like you have the cash to get in, you can afford the cover charge, but your ID looks a little different.
Exactly. So you're just left standing on the pavement. And in Australian real estate, that VIP ID has traditionally been your standard, completely predictable PAYG paycheck.
Well, and for a long time, the only lenders with the keys to this government-backed club were traditional deposit-taking banks.
Because they hold everyday people's savings, right?
Yeah, exactly. So they're heavily regulated by APRA to be ultra-conservative. They essentially all share the exact same risk model.
But here is where it gets interesting because Liberty changes that dynamic entirely. I mean, they don't take deposits.
Right.
They are an ASIC-regulated, securitization-funded non-bank. So they raise their money through financial markets, which means they get to play by completely different rules.
And what's fascinating here is that this shift targets a very specific type of buyer. We're talking about borrowers who are failing on shape, not on serviceability.
Wait, what do you mean by failing on shape?
So, like, if you are self-employed with a really strong recent business activity statement, but maybe you had thin returns the previous year, or you're a contractor with, consistent but non-standard income.
The traditional banks just turn you away.
Yep, they turn you away. Their credit policies are just incredibly homogenous. I mean, even a fully paid-off default from, say, 4 years ago
Yeah.
will get your application rejected by the majors.
And those majors really can't afford to keep rejecting people right now, can they? I mean, look at the current market
Oh,
data.
absolutely not. The pool of perfect traditional borrowers is just drying up.
Yeah, first home buyer commitments actually dropped by 4.3% in the March 2026 quarter.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And alongside that, national dwelling values took a 0.7% dip in July. So the market fundamentally needs this funnel to expand just to keep things moving.
Because the timing is just so critical here.
Yeah.
It expands the funnel at the exact moment the traditional pipeline is, well, heavily constrained.
Right. But I have to play devil's advocate here for a second. Just because Liberty is on the panel, it doesn't mean the government is suddenly taking on infinite risk, right?
Well, no.
Because Housing Australia is evaluating solvency. They want to protect the government's money. So couldn't Liberty theoretically just offer the scheme entirely on their strictest prime products and just completely ignore the gig workers anyway?
Yeah, so if we connect this to the bigger picture, that is the exact uncertainty hanging over the market right now. Panel membership is not a credit policy.
Right, that makes sense.
Housing Australia evaluated Liberty based on their potential to minimize calls on the guarantee. So currently, there is absolutely nothing published confirming that Liberty's alternative inquiry verification, like their alt doc products, will actually be accepted inside the scheme.
Wow, okay. So if they are forced to use traditional risk models, the entire advantage of bringing in a non-bank basically just evaporates.
Exactly. It's a huge unknown.
So what does this all mean in practice? Like, if you are a broker listening to this, you're stepping into a very gray area right now.
You are. It completely changes the fundamental math of how you place a loan for your client. Because historically, if a borrower didn't fit the major banks, you just defaulted to a specialist lender outside the scheme.
But that meant the borrower had to pay a massive, I mean, five-figure lender's mortgage insurance premium or some hefty risk fee entirely out of pocket.
Right, an LMI is just a sunk cost. It protects the lender, not the borrower, so that money is just gone.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Now, you have to start weighing two different financial burdens against each other.
Right, the new strategic pivot.
Yeah, you take the potential rate premium on a guaranteed Liberty loan, which, might have a slightly higher interest rate, and you stack that up against the total upfront cost of the LMI with the unguaranteed specialist.
Because paying a fraction of a percent higher on an interest rate over the first few years of a loan often costs significantly less than a $10,000 or $15,000 upfront LMI hit.
Right, the total cost over a few years usually favors the guaranteed non-bank loan.
Exactly. But you have to sit down and run the actual arithmetic. Instinct just won't cut it anymore for brokers.
So the groundwork for this shift was really laid back in October 2025, when the scheme dropped its income caps and waitlists.
Yeah, that set the stage.
And now Liberty's entry serves as the first real test of whether the system will truly expand the credit box for non-traditional earners.
It really is the proving ground for the modern buyer, who just doesn't fit that century-old mold.
Which leaves us with a pretty provocative thought for you to ponder today. If a non-bank successfully proves that alt-doc gig economy workers are perfectly safe bets for a government guarantee, will that eventually force the major big four banks to completely rewrite their rigid definitions of reliable income just to keep up?